Talking today with livestock market economist Dr. Daryl Peel from Oklahoma State University. Daryl, latest U.S. Department of Agriculture cattle on feed numbers are out. We've got like 1% more cattle on feed this year compared to a year ago. Overall, what do you see in this report that jumps out at you?
Well, I think the main thing from the standpoint of pre-report expectations is this report was pretty well anticipated. I don't think there's any surprises here. The placement number is actually a little bit smaller than average, but more importantly, within the range of estimates. The marketing's number was just about dead on, and the on-feed total for April 1st also very much as expected. So from that standpoint, no real surprises in this report that I think the market should react to. That's not to say that we couldn't see some reaction.
Daryl, seems like that, of course, a month ago we had very, very big placement number compared to a year ago. And this number you mentioned is a little bit less than what traders were expecting, but still we are again above a year ago. What does that tell you?
Well, it confirms what we know is happening. I mean, we knew on January 1 with the inventory estimates that the feeder supply was up. We began herd expansion in 2014, and by the time you get to 2016, that means there's more feeder cattle coming through the pipeline. And so, February was a big number, and that caused a little bit of reaction. But the fact that we're up year over year is something we're going to see for many more months to come as we proceed with this herd expansion that is now reached a point where that feeder supply pipeline is coming into the feedlots. And of course, that means then that we're going to translate this into increased slaughter coming out of the feedlot and increased beef production from this point forward.
Daryl, let's talk a little bit about the marketing's number. It was above a year ago. Is this a strong enough marketing's number that you feel that we are keeping up the pace that we need to have to stay current?
I think so. We've spent the last couple of months, 3 or 4 months really, kind of getting this feedlot situation kind of cleaned up. The placement number the marketing's number was relatively strong. When you couple that with what we see happening this last week in particular, the weekly carcass weights showed a fairly pronounced seasonal decline in both steer and heifer carcass weights. That's encouraging and kind of confirms that. And if you look at the quarterly on-feed numbers, there's something that's changed in this report that we haven't seen for quite a while. The heifers on-feed as of April 1st on the quarterly estimates were up year over year for the first time in about 14 quarters. And again, that's indicative of the fact that feeder supplies are beginning to grow, probably also confirms that we're slowing down the rate of heifer retention, not to say that we're not doing that. I think we still are. By the other token, steers on feed on April 1st in the quarterly estimates were down year over year for the first time in several quarters. And we had a real big buildup in those steer on feed numbers on a quarterly basis last year that was part of the problem and the backlog we got into. This would suggest it's still a pretty big number because it's compared to a big number a year ago, but it's beginning to come down, and that's one more indication that we're in relatively good shape, I think, in getting this feedlot situation cleaned up pretty well.
I know that your friend Jim Robb had kind of signaled that he thought that we are starting to place enough cattle right now that we're going to have pretty significant supplies of cattle coming out of our feedlots in the second half of this year. Is that what you're kind of seeing right now?
We certainly will see an increase year over year going forward. Again, we know those cattle are out there. And we are placing them now, starting in February, continuing this month. If you look at the weight breaks downs, most of the increase in placements, as it has been for some months, is in the heavier weight categories. And so we're going to kind of balance relatively current supplies right now for the rest of the second quarter here against the fact that we've placed these heavier cattle. The lightweight placements were down. So it moderates some of that impact. It spreads it out a little bit over time. But clearly, as we move from the first to the second half of the year, we're going to see a year-over-year increase in feedlot inventories and feedlot production.
Daryl, the market's been acting kind of ornery here lately in the last couple of weeks, especially. What does that say to you right now as far as this uncertainty that seems to be out there, whether you talk about the futures or the cash market?
Well, I think there's several things going on. The future is kind of a separate issue. We've had an ongoing conversation for many months about sort of the nature of the volatility in that market and the nature of movements in that futures market and position of that futures market relative to the cash market. Within the cash market, I think it's certainly been true that there's been a bit of a lack of direction, maybe is the best way to say it, in terms of really across the board, from box beef back to fed cattle and to some extent back to feeder cattle. And it's a variety of factors going on. I think we're, you know, we're into the second quarter now. We've seen some seasonal kind of behavior in the first quarter of the year, and we're probably trying to figure out sort of where we go from here, looking towards some seasonal decreases, generally speaking, for both feeder and fed cattle as we go forward here. But really kind of trying to figure out just really where we are with these fundamentals. And not so much, you know, it's not so much that we don't know what direction we're probably going to go, but I don't think we have a sense of how committed we are to that path yet and how fast we go down that road. So market's groping a little bit. We're also reeling with the fact that, you know, the other meats are kind of sorting things out. Pork production is moderating this year, and at the same time, we're seeing some increased pork exports, so we're seeing some offsetting moderation in pork supplies relative to growing beef supplies. On the poultry side, we've got year-over-year increases in production, but we also have some continuing recovery in exports. And so we're really trying to sort out that whole domestic meat picture relative to where we are in the season of the year, looking forward to Memorial Day and really the beginning of the summer season, and trying to sort it out across all of the meats.
Darrell, I know that you and others have made some comments about USDA deciding not to have that mid-year cattle inventory update. We won't be able to obviously know exactly where we stand on herd rebuilding until next January, but what's your sense right now? Yeah, I know you've indicated you think we've probably slowed down a little bit. What are we going to end up seeing, you think, here in 2016?
Well, I think, you know, given the momentum, if you will, that was in place, where we started the year with heifer inventories, and even though they can get diverted and sometimes that changes a bit, looks to me like we will continue to see year-over-year increases in the beef cow herd. I think it will be more moderate than last year. I'm looking for somewhere in the range of, say, 1.5% to 2.5% year-over-year increase. You know, and that roughly would translate into about, 600,000 to 700,000 head more beef cows, for the year. And, on top of where we started the year at 30.3 million, that would put us right at 31 million head. That's just about exactly where the national cow herd was in 2011 at the beginning of the drought. And that's kind of the way I look at it, is that, you know, we can call this a herd or a cyclical expansion. It's really just a recuperation of the herd following drought liquidation. And then I think the real question after that becomes how much higher than that might we end up going in terms of a cyclical expansion. And that's very much a wait-and-see proposal at this point until we see kind of how both domestic and international demand develop over the next couple of years that will ultimately dictate just how big we really need to be in this industry.
Finally, cow-calf and for the stocker segment right now, folks that have got cattle, maybe they're grazing out wheat on the stocker side. Guys, obviously, middle of calving season, perhaps on the cow-calf end of the business. What's the strategy for these folks? Maybe first for stockers and then for the cow-calf end of the business.
I think on the stocker side, if you look at the way we have realigned prices across weights within feeder cattle, which is what really drives that stocker margin or that value of gain that we often talk about, and also feeder cattle prices in general relative to fed cattle prices and the implications that has for feedlot margins, the upshot of all of that is we've seen some change in that feeder cattle price structure in the last 8 weeks or so that would suggest that because we have relatively cheap feedlot cost of gain, and it looks like we're going to continue to see that, barring some unforeseen weather problem in this year's corn crop. Feedlots and because feedlots really have cleaned up much of their problem, there's less incentive for the stocker producers to put more weight on these cattle at the big end of things. We've had a lot of incentive over the last couple of years to take these cattle up to 800, 850, 900, and even bigger than that in some cases, and the feedlots were content to let them do that. I think the feedlots now are more interested in increasing throughput And so there's, if stocker producers pencil out the value of the last 200 pounds of gain at the big end relative to the first 200 pounds when they first start with these cattle, I think they might figure out that the incentive is to turn those cattle a little bit quicker and concentrate more of their effort on the lightweight end of things rather than taking them so big as we have been doing much of the time in the last few months. For cow-calf producers, you know, we've been through a lot up and down, but the bottom line is we still have relatively good, certainly by historical standards, you know, calf prices. We anticipate, even though there is a long-term trend here of eroding these prices as cattle numbers build and beef production builds, we've still got pretty good prices in for 2016. I think what cow-calf producers really have to do is turn their focus on the cost side. Try to manage their margins. They can manage costs. There's a number of things they can potentially do. They need to be aware of what the market prices are likely to do, but at the end of the day, they can't change them a great deal in any event, so they really need to focus their attention on cost management and try to protect their margins on that end of things.
Extension Livestock Market Economist Dr. Darrell Peel. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes reporting.